Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
We're talking about the stopgap measure for the Senate, which the House has passed, obviously, now goes to the Senate. And that spending bill, if they could just get an extension, they would require a certain number of Democrats to actually vote for it. So Senator Fetterman, the headline is that, yes, he will back the GOP spending bill to avert that government shutdown. So I don't know that Chuck Schumer will be happy about this one, because Schumer has said no, that he wants to block this. But I would say the pressure, you want to talk about the push, the pressure is on for Senate Democrats this week as they're figuring out whether or not they're going to support this Republican-led government spending bill. They've opposed it. Should they oppose it? Or should they be the ones who are going to risk being the ones in the media and, you know, being blamed for shutting down the federal government? Fetterman has said he vowed he would support the Republican-backed bill.
Yeah. Well,
so he's bucking the trend already.
Yeah. Well, Schumer's no longer Jewish either. He's actually Palestinian. So
stop.
That's what Trump said.
I know.
That's what Trump said.
It's coming up.
Trump did say it. We know it.
I loved it.
Got the receipts, right? But the Senate now has just days to, as we've been talking about, pass this stopgap bill, which obviously funds the government for the next 7 months. So it cleared the House on Tuesday. The issue here is that the House, they're now on their spring break, if you will. They're on recess. So if anything, now Schumer is saying they need to come back.
Spring break.
I know. Well, I called it spring break.
When do radio hosts get a spring break?
The fact that they're in spring break is just infuriating.
Yeah.
It's just infuriating.
Yep. I worry about government shutdowns just as much as I worry about being killed in a mass shooting, just as much as I worry about flying on an airline and crashing into a building and dying. All this, government shutdown. Government doesn't do anything when they're working.
So locally, we have this woman who is, we've been talking about, the Jersey Kebab co-owner. She's named Amin Eminet, and she walked free from a Jersey immigrant detention center, as we talked about yesterday. So a judge had ruled the day before that, in fact, they could make bail. By the way, with a GoFundMe, this is a South Jersey family, Haddon Township, and that's where their restaurant is. They've raised more than 300 grand, about a third of $1 million they've raised to just in a GoFundMe. So a ton of money. So it was no problem to pay out that $7,500 to make bail. And Amin Eminet, she has some court proceedings to go to, but she walked into the arms of her husband and her four children, two grandchildren. They all live together. But this has been going on for 2 weeks after ICE paid a little visit to their Jersey Kebab, very popular South Jersey restaurant. And they had her husband, he could wear the ankle bracelet, but for whatever reason, they kept Amin in custody all this time. So she's now free. And it was an emotional scene as far as local media, because you could see her raising her arms. They cried out. They were hugging. They had flowers. And that was outside the jail. This was in Elizabeth, New Jersey. We've been following this one very carefully for you. And that really brings us to the other big story as far as ICE and who's being held in an ICE facility. And this is in Louisiana. And this is the student who we had heard who was accused of, in fact, being pro-Palestinian and anti-Israel and passing around that propaganda that is pro-Hamas. And so right now he is in a Louisiana facility, although the court proceedings are certainly going on, as we've talked about this story a lot, making national headlines. He's that Columbia student that we've talked about, that in which the protest over the weekend caused the injury of at least one law enforcement officer. So a lot of emotion over that one in New York, for sure. We're following that case. And then as well, we'll talk about another measles case that we're hearing about at Children's Hospital.
Mm.
So in this one, they're putting health officials locally, putting the word out that there were two different exposure locations, one at a South Philadelphia Health and Literacy Center, this on South Broad Street. And then the other one, they're saying, was at a CHOP Pediatric Primary Care South Philadelphia Health Center. And so these two whether it's the CHOP locally or the library, basically, they believe that they may have been exposed to a measles case. So they want to alert people to these situations. We've been talking about this in the news, measles cases on the rise. We had the one in South Jersey, and we had the other one in Montgomery County at KOP.
Fascinating how measles cases, whether it's one or 32 of them that pop up in an area, are now headline newsworthy based on this current administration. Was there never a measles case the last 5 years?
I'm just wondering.
I don't recall it being reported.
No, there hasn't. I mean, there may have been one outlier here or there, but no, there hasn't. And it's not this many. And it's a big story because
of the death,
and because we had this under control, and now with people coming into this country illegally, the unvaccinated, now it's cropping up again.
Right.
That's why it's an issue.
Okay.
Yeah, and
it's not a Bobby Kennedy blame game. It's a prior administration allowing people in that shouldn't be in here that are unvaccinated causing the issue. Did I interpret what you're saying correctly?
Yeah, I mean, I think that in truth, when there's a case of measles, especially at a pediatric facility or a library where you have children under one who would be, you might have a baby or a pregnant lady who's, you know, they usually do release these, I will say. They'll release these kinds of warnings, just like if they have some other serious diseases.
But this is stemming not from American citizens. This is stemming from people that have entered this country illegally.
Now, the Texas case of the six-year-old little girl who died, she was sick for 3 weeks. She's the first death in a decade. She is a Mennonite child.
Yes.
Okay. American-born Mennonite.
Mm-hmm.
And so we now know more information. Her father has been speaking out. She was sick for 3 weeks. She was sick three weeks. And her parents at some point took her to a hospital. And then the hospital, I think early on perhaps, said just keep her cool and give her cold compresses. And by the time they took her back, because this was over a three-week period, they admitted her, but it was too late.
So the Mennonite, the religion, I guess, that's why they don't vaccinate?
They don't, yeah. Hmm. So that has nothing to do with, just to clarify, that death, the first death in a decade, has absolutely nothing to do with, as far as they were not illegals. They're citizens. Hmm. And the father was speaking out on that one. So that one is just a tragic one. But I do think it's on everybody's radar. But we have had a number of cases. We want to talk about, so we'll talk about the blood moon later on. That's supposed to be overnight into this evening. So I know many of you want to watch this. But since we talk about maybe a rare eclipse this evening, what about a rare, mysterious appearance of what washed up on a Jersey beach? It's a fun story with bottles of whiskey.
Yeah,
not mine.
And this is like 100-year-old whiskey.
Yeah. Mm.
And these, I think just the bottles, the glass bottles alone are probably valuable. Maybe a collector would covet these. But it's a guy's Coast Guard. His name's Austin Contagiacomo. And he was walking his dog one day on a Jersey beach, had a little doggy out, walking along. What are you sniffing, boy? What are you sniffing? Get away from that. And ultimately realized, at first thought it might be something else, but ultimately realized that these were rare bottles of quite beautiful glass, clear bottles of whiskey.
Yeah, you can see them. If you're watching now on YouTube, you can see the bottles. He took pictures of them.
You think they're still good?
They might be. I mean, we don't know, but they could be. They look sealed up.
Yeah.
And where did this, where did they wash up on shore?
And so this was, and technically, Greg sent me this. He goes, technically, it is a local story.
Yeah.
Because in fact, it's, which Jersey Beach is it? It's Atlantic County.
Margate Pier.
So it's Margate.
Yeah.
That's the old Nucky Thompson, Al Capone, Boardwalk Empire stomping grounds in the Prohibition era.
So, like, do you? He obviously found them in
11 bottles.
11. Look at the bottle. Look at those bottles. Wow.
Yeah, I would try one of those.
Of course.
That one on the left, that's real dark brown, looks like a Woodford.
So do you think they were just, somebody had them on a ship, and they just, you know what I mean? Like what, why did they wash up on shore now, do you think?
I don't know.
Well, they're saying that the area where they washed ashore, it could make sense that they would, during the Prohibition era back in the day, they would, you know, have the, they would travel by water.
Yeah.
So they would bring them up in a boat, and apparently that would be, they said it would make sense that it would be in that region.
I always love stories like this, especially the ones where, like, a bottle washes up on shore with a letter in it from somebody that wrote it, you know, 85 years ago, and then it just drifts ashore from some random island all these decades later. By the way, I love the whole Prohibition era type stuff. I'd have been a great bootlegger back in the day. Maybe a little top hat and a machine gun.
The cool thing is he found 11 bottles. At first I thought, is this a scam? Did he find some old bottles? Some guy found some old glass bottles that are actually something that they might have used. And they have a raised, like a lettering on them that says Lincoln. But then he said there were 11 bottles. He gave them all, the 10 of them, he gave them to family and friends.
Oh, see, that's a nice guy. I would have put those on the
web.
So I would have sold those for about $2,000 a bottle.
Yeah.
He's with the Coast Guard. I don't see any reason to be suspicious. I don't. I think they just washed up. They're from 1928. Mm-hmm.
By the way, Phil, put up the one with his dog there.
Oh,
the one
cool.
On the beach, because it was actually his dog, his Labradoodle.
Sand.
His Labradoodle that found it. Where you had it up there, buddy. You had it up there.
Yeah, go back to it.
So this is the jury. What kind of dog is it, they say?
It's like a Labradoodle, Labradoodle or something. Yeah. And he started rolling around on the beach, and they're like, well, he only does that when he smells something weird. And
it's a sheep-a-doodle.
A sheep-a-doodle.
A sheep-a-doodle.
Yeah. Hypoallergenic.
No, it wasn't a Labradoodle. It's a sheep named Coda.
Yeah.
And so it's right near, it's just south, basically. It's south of Atlantic City, near Margate Pier. So you think about Atlantic City, you think about Prohibition era. And so I guess nobody's opened it up yet.
That's amazing.
That's a shame, actually.
It really is.
Nick would be walking by like, hey, would you want to taste test?
Yeah.
I would love to.
I would actually like to book this guy on the show, have him bring in his stash or round it back up from his friends and family that he stupidly just gave it away to. And we do a live taste testing on the air. Probably going to be trash. I mean, there's no way from back, you know, 1929 or whatever, that this could possibly still be good, right? They didn't have
it
the technology.
Be. It could be.
You think?
Yeah.
You think
yeah.
they had the technology to preserve stuff that long back
then? I mean,
then?
If it has a wax seal and they have like a metal. Because back in the day, everything was like a stain. It's a glass bottle and then like a, looks like a stainless steel screw-on cap. But it looks like they have like some kind of a wax seal.
Yeah.
And then you think about the ocean. Because it would have, they think that it's, they think theoretically that it's dredging. Because you know how they're bringing up the sand and rebuilding the beaches?
Right.
So if it was sort of settled in and buried on the ocean floor is very cool. It's cold.
True.
So unless it was over 70, 75 degrees, I think it would be, it potentially could be fine.
Love that. All right.
So, you know, he could probably sell it and, I don't know, maybe buy. What would one of those sell for? Maybe you could.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I'm willing to spend $1.25 on that.
$1.25?
It'd be more than that because it's historic. I don't know. Could he buy a boat? That brings us to our sponsor, Philadelphia Boat Show. Boat sale of the year. It's back, baby. Philadelphia Boat Show this weekend, March 14th to the 16th. Expo Center right there in Oaks. Top tri-state dealers ready to deliver saltwater fishing boats, pontoon party boats, ski boats, bass boats. I've always want to say bass.
I know.
I don't know why. Like, I'm thinking about the music.
I know. When I read that as well,
boat.
I want to say bass. And
right?
then I hear the YouTube chat and I hear Dawn's voice in my ear. They're like, it's bass. Bass. I say bass now.
Turn up the bass in the pontoon boat. The bass boat is for fishing. BWCs and more. See PhillyBoatShow.com for all the deeds for the tickets. Thank you, Philadelphia Boat Show. So I don't know if we're going to see this lunar blood moon eclipse this evening, because it starts at midnight tonight and then goes all the way until 6 o'clock tomorrow morning with this eclipse. But and you can look at it, this one, they say.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if it's going to be cloudy, because we do have rain, clouds and rain moving in.
Yeah, further proof, though, with this blood moon that the red wave has came. Even the moon is going red.
Has came? Where did you grow up? Has came? Oh, my God. Jesus, man. Like, in your head, that sounds correct.
Folks, I actually got into law school. You believe that?
Oh, my God.
Maybe he did it just to trigger you, Greg Stone.
No, that was just a total whiff by me.
Oh,
that's on me, folks. I'm taking one right here, 618.
Well, this is Kale and Company News Live.
I'm going to actually reconsider everything I've ever said and done, and we'll get to the big take on the other side. Actually, are we going to do the big take now?
No, let's
do it on the other side. Yeah. Okay. All right, Dawn, thank you very much. Big take is on the other side. It's all about the economy, and then we will get into the Stephanie Ruhle, John Fetterman conversation, as well as one newspaper columnist ripping MAGA, Trump, and the Eagles for going to the White House coming up on April 28th. But the big take is up next here on Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app. The big take on Kale and Company.
Brought to you by Natural Lawn of America. It's the economy, stupid. You can call it Trumponomics. You can call it the MAGA market. Call it what you will and whatever you'd like. But we could be getting ready to call it a sign of good things coming. Remember when inflation increased for January and the Democrats blamed it on Donald Trump? We talked about it on this show. Remember, Trump was in office for all of, 9 days in January? Well, February, his first full month, showed that things are getting better for Americans who live paycheck to paycheck. And I've made it very clear where I stand on this show. I think Democrats are clinging to, hoping for, and praying that the economy bottoms out with Trump, because it's all they would have left. You can't talk about the border. In month number one, Trump set a 25-year low for illegal border crossings. You can't really talk about global peace, because Trump could very well have both wars finished up in his first 100 days. And you can cry all you want about Doge, Elon Musk, and gutting federal agencies, but the majority, 54% of Americans, approve of it, and 78 million voted for it. And I call a spade on this show. Pam Bondi, no problem ripping her, as I have. Where are the Epstein files? As I said yesterday on this show, I'm not interested in being played. In fact, I like to judge my party and the people I voted for as harshly as the Democrats. But we keep hearing about the fear of tariffs and the repercussions if things go south. Which is interesting, because nobody cares to talk about how Trump utilized tariffs successfully in his first term. It's like he just randomly decided to start using them now with no knowledge of how they work and the implications, the rolling of a dice, the gamble that he's taking. Nobody talks about economies like China and other nations that utilize tariffs. Sure, we hear about the percentages which they tax on us, but we don't hear that their economies have hit the you-know-what. Everything Trump says or does is countered by the fear of, what if, from the Democrats, and the what ifs and the fear from the mainstream media. But let's share some facts for February, not what ifs. The first Trump monthly inflation report came out yesterday on Wednesday, and here was CNN showing the surprisingly good results. Listen and watch.
Finally, we have some good news on the economy and really the number one issue for many Americans, the cost of living. So we just learned that consumer prices in February increased by 2.8% year over year, 0.2% month over month. Both of these figures were a step in the right direction, and both were better than expected. So this is definitely very encouraging to see, because it's going to, I think, relieve some fears that inflation was perhaps reaccelerating, because this actually breaks a streak of four straight months where I think you could see it on the chart all the way to the right, where the inflation rate was going in the wrong direction, right? It was going higher and higher. Finally, we're seeing it dip.
According to AAA, gas prices also down, as the average price per gallon in America is $3.09, which is the best price for the month of March since March of 2021. Egg prices also down about 80 cents per dozen, but it gets better. If you're in the market for a house, it is slowly but surely inching back towards a reality for many seeking that mortgage that many thought was out of reach. According to Bloomberg, U.S. mortgage rates dipped for the sixth consecutive week, which is the lowest since the month of December. On the inflation front, the core CPI, Consumer Price Index, which excludes the volatile food and energy prices. That came in at 3.1%, which was the lowest reading since April of 2021. Now, the stock market has certainly been up and down and very volatile as of late, but it's seemingly starting to stabilize. But when it comes to 401ks, the Wall Street Journal with a very interesting story on the Trump voters out there that are not worried about their retirement. Headline, quote, meet the Trump voters downplaying hits to their 401ks. They go on to write, major stock indexes have logged their worst start to a presidential term since 2009. Further, they write, many Americans watched their retirement accounts grow during President Trump's first term and voted for him again, believing that their balances would swell once he returned to office. Instead, their nest eggs have languished during the early weeks of his second term. The average 401k balance was around $132,000 at the end of 2024, the second highest level on record and a 44% jump from a decade earlier, according to Fidelity. Stocks generally performed well in Trump's first term. The S&P 500 index jumped about 67% during Trump's first term, compared to 56% with Joe Biden in his presidency. They spoke to multiple voters of Trump in the South. Lisa Paris of LaGrange, Kentucky, and her husband were expecting a market reset within the next year, but were still surprised by the sluggish economic performance during the first months of Trump's return to office. The couple say they lost about $70,000 in retirement savings since January. Quote, it's going to hurt a little bit to heal correctly, 58-year-old Paris said, comparing Trump's treatment of the economy to supporting a broken bone with a splint. Quote, if you don't set the bone, you're going to get a wobbly healing, and it's not going to be strong. But if you set it, it's going to hurt, but it will be stronger than it was before. Paris's husband, a registered Republican who doesn't support Trump, is concerned about the portfolio's decline, especially with the couple approaching retirement. But Paris said he thinks the changes, particularly Trump's tariffs on Mexico and Canadian products, will lead, in fact, to long-term gains. And if you're having doubts and fear about the economy, and that's maybe kicked in for you a little bit, let me reassure you. Let me give you some hope. Let me give you some faith. Jim Cramer, CNBC, who hasn't been correct in years, had this to say. Listen and watch.
Let's talk about stock prices in the White House. Now, this weekend, the president said he's not focused on the stock market. Maybe if you're in power, you're not up for re-election, the stock market could be ignored. That's just one problem. This is what the president's forgetting. The stock market serves a dual role. Yes, it makes rich people richer, no doubt, at least when it's going up. But when it goes down, it can also be a signal. A signal that things aren't well in the economy, that business could be getting tougher and that layoffs could be on the table. Now, big picture, I mostly agree with President's attitude toward trade, even if I disagree with the details and certainly don't like the angry way he's handling it. Let's do it. All right, listen to me, guys. Right now, the market is trying to tell President Trump that he shouldn't be so rancorous and angry. Just try to get the job done sotto voce, under the, you know, just fly lower, please. And if he keeps ignoring that message, we could end up a hell of a lot lower than where we are with stocks and with the economy.
If Mr. Mad Money says it's going to rain, expect sun. If Cramer says bet on the Eagles, wager on their opponent. If he says the market is good, I hope you've been saving up for a rainy day. If he says the market is poor, go buy yourself a pontoon boat. You get my drift? And it's also all about energy. Most of us are aware of that. Here was Donald Trump's reaction yesterday to the economy after one full month. Listen and watch.
I'm very happy with his oil is down to $65 a barrel. And that's faster than I would have attempted. We put on the gas. We stepped in the gas in order to get oil. And with what's happening. So we're getting that down. And when energy comes down, prices are going to be coming down with it. So in a very short period of time, we've done a very good job.
Finally, let's obliterate MSNBC or whatever is left of that network, shall we? Here is a Democratic strategist on live TV with her head up her butt, disrespecting Trump voters by saying that you aren't wealthy enough to afford a Tesla. Listen and watch this.
I mean, really, the president is basically a car salesman now. It's just astounding with everything that's going on. I mean, literally, with everything that's going on in the world, he's taking time out of his day to array four or five Teslas on the White House lawn and basically act like a showroom salesman. for, by the way, I don't know who he thinks is buying Teslas, but I can guarantee you that they're out of reach, many of them, for the average Trump voter. So I'm not sure who in the MAGA universe he's urging to buy Teslas, because Teslas consistently, in previous iterations, were bought by wealthier, more environmentally conscious people. And so, you know, if he's trying to now get MAGA to go buy Teslas, I think that's not going to be very successful.
Mike Opelka might disagree with that entire clip. And the last time I checked, Trump voters are not dirt poor Southern farmers driving around in a 1997 vehicle. There are Southern blue-collar workers in MAGA. Same thing here in the Northeast. There's also corporate CEOs out there that are MAGA. There's the country club golfer demographic out there that is MAGA. And I remember when I interviewed here at 1210 WPHT about 3 years ago, almost 3 years ago this week, our market manager said the audience is a high-end boutique shop with loyal, wealthy, powerful listeners with disposable income. That is almost a verbatim quote. And this lady on TV is spitting in the face of Trump voters on an economic front, saying the average Trump supporter can't afford a Tesla. I would advise that Democratic strategist to just shut it down, because we are in no way doing a victory lap on the economy. At least I'm not. But 1 month in, I feel like Trump has us on the right path. And if he doesn't, you know that I will hold his feet to the fire. But if the border, DOGE, and being on the verge of peace in global wars, two of them actually, is any indicator, as well as Trump's first term, I think the economy will right itself in due time. In the meantime, just keep doing the four D's. Drill, DOGE, drain, and deport. Say it with me, everybody. Drill, DOGE, drain, and deport. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
Brought to you by Natural Lawn of America. From organic fertilizer to safer weed and insect controls, Natural Lawn makes sure your lawn thrives naturally season after season. Choose Natural Lawn and get free seeding every year. Call 800-FREE-SEED now. 855-839-1210. That's how you jump aboard. We're on social media at 1210WPHT. And, of course, you can have your voice heard in our YouTube chat, youtube.com/at1210WPHT. Hit the like and subscribe buttons. Dawn, I know you're always paying attention to the economy, things like the Fed, the interest rates. Your thoughts on all the seemingly positive direction we are going in with the economy for one full month of Donald Trump?
Well, I will say, you know, I'm always half glass full. I will say that the latest, the CPI numbers that came out, and, you know, as you pointed out, they don't include the food or energy. But the issue is that CPI snapshot, well, it really is just a snapshot. It was all gathered prior to the tariff talks. So I simply wonder what happens when all of that is factored in.
Yeah, things could change in April and May for sure.
So, I think it's a good sign that inflation is cooling. There's a Fed decision coming up. I think this is all one big negotiation back and forth. And now I'm going to counter your counter tariffs. I think the tariff stuff makes people nervous. I was just checking out the futures market. I mean, the Dow was up yesterday, and this morning the Dow futures are up. S&P 500 up, NASDAQ slightly down. You know, we'll see. But as far as the 401ks, that's something, I mean, I think you have to watch it and you have to care about it. And so you think, oh, I hope they know what they're doing.
I'm wondering about that lady in the Wall Street Journal that lost 70,000. I'd love to know. There's no way to
Since January. She
since
lost
January. Yeah. There's no way that lady, I'm just guessing. I could be wrong. Yeah, I mentioned the Wall Street Journal said that the average 401k is about 132,000. Something tells me that her 401k is well north of that. Because if she lost 70 since January, she lost over 50%. Exactly. There's no way you could be happy about that.
Right. And I will just say this. Trump, Larry and I, everything was way up. And then it was kind of a roller coaster. But toward the end of the last administration, it's true, under the Biden administration, toward the end, it did go up. So, I think at this point, you're kind of used to this little roller coaster ride. Hopefully you change up your investments so you make sure, depending on when you're set for your retirement, you want to make sure that you don't have volatility in there. Mm-hmm. And that's just smart. looking at the, there are some polls out that say that Trump is, you know, I'm looking at, what is this one? A Reuters, Ipsos poll, 70% of Americans believe the tariffs are going to push the prices higher, and 41% believe that Trump's economic policies will pay off in the long run. That's only 41%. So I will say this, Trump watches these polls more than I do, more than anybody.
Oh, he's very focused. He's very focused on what people say about him, whether it's in a poll or on television.
Yeah. So he will make the in-flight adjustments.
Okay.
But I simply think it's all talk.
Here's the problem too, is that yes, it's the recession talk and all of that stuff is major news on all the channels. But if whatever side's in power, if the other side would stop dunking on, like, I have a tweet from 2022 or 23 from the House Judiciary, the official House Judiciary Twitter, saying, if you look at your 401k today, remember that it was all brought to you by Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. And Trump, when he wasn't in office, said, boy, the stock market's crashing. This is all Joe Biden's fault. So if they wouldn't dunk on the Biden administration for it, maybe we wouldn't, you know, do the same thing now. Do you know what I'm saying?
I do. I mean, I think that the truth is that, you know, whatever they do, we should not be so reactionary. And that's kind of what I was, my point was that, you know, during every administration, I see it go up and go down, and and it's going to do that. If you have everything invested properly and wisely, depending on your plan.
Right.
So the closer you are to your retirement, you know that you want less risk. And I think that's part of the game. And to Greg's point, you're exactly right. Elon Musk tweeted about this, I don't know, within the last week.
Yeah.
When my stepkids were younger, we put money, we let them choose, and we just put money in, and we do this with our boys.
Mm-hmm.
And so Stacia wanted Disney. Jonathan wanted Apple.
Mm-hmm.
Well, by the time, you know, by the time she got married, I will just say that was well over a six-figure sum.
Right.
So, and we never touched it. It was just, put this away. This is your Disney.
Forget it exists.
Forget
Come
it.
Back and look at it.
And
years
Elon
later.
Said that. Find something you love.
Mm-hmm.
Put in a little bit, even if it's your coffee money.
Right.
Maybe it's your whiskey money instead of whiskey. You know, whatever. Maybe it's giving up seed oil or burgers or whatever that is, a little bit here, a little bit. And if you just leave it alone and let her ride, you'll do quite well.
Yep.
But if you're sitting there micromanaging it and freaking out about it.
You can't look at those stock prices on a daily basis and get into emotional responses and then do stupid things, right?
Yep.
That's the best advice I could give, and I'm not advised to give any financial advice. 855-839-1210, 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by Piazza Auto Group at Porsche Delaware. It is excited to announce its newly expanded maintenance and reconditioning services, now offering care for classic Porsche in addition to general maintenance. Schedule an appointment online today at PorscheDelaware.com. All right, let's get into this. We've got two stories of kind of a local angle. Obviously, the Eagles are going to the White House. I've got a USA Today column I want to get into about how Donald Trump, the headline is, has successfully coerced the Eagles into providing cover for his cruelty, writes a columnist for the USA Today. And then we have to get to the other local Trump angle, and that is John Fetterman clashing with Stephanie Ruhle of MSNBC on Trump and oligarchs. Both of those on the way to wrap up the 6 o'clock hour, and then following Dawn's news in the 7 o'clock hour, as we're just about an hour away from the cut sheet and our boy Sean Farish. Back after this on a Thursday morning on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Considering I don't think anybody reads USA Today, so they have this other like sub-publication. I think it's a digital-only version called FTW for the Win. And the writer, his name is Michael Sykes. And the headline is, Eagles White House visit with Donald Trump only covers for his cruelty. And he talks about how the Eagles accepted the Super Bowl invitation, and they are enthusiastically accepting the invite. And he says the following in his column. Thus ends one of the highest profile will they or won't they sagas of the year. Initially, the report, we talked about this, from The Sun, said the team would not accept the invitation. That actually ended up being false. Then a report from Front Office Sports surfaced saying that the team would accept the invite. And as we played, I think either yesterday or 2 days ago on the cut sheet, Caroline Leavitt said it will be Monday, April 28th. He writes, Michael Sykes, as an Eagles fan, so I guess he might have local ties, although I'm looking at his Twitter profile, says he's from Maryland. I'd be extremely grateful if this scheduled visit could go down the same path. Accepting an invitation offered by this White House is a grave mistake. I'm sure some of you are audibly groaning reading this right now. This won't jive with the Keep Politics Out of Sports Coalition that only seems to clutch its pearls when the politics point in one direction. But that's neither here nor there. This isn't necessarily about political viewpoints or protecting some pie-in-the-sky idea of the sanctity of the office. He goes on to write a couple of other things. He says, but don't get it twisted. Sports have been used to sanitize political figureheads for more than a century now. He uses some historical context with Teddy Roosevelt and other politicians and presidents with pro teams and championship franchises coming to the White House. Then he rounds back, he says, which brings us back to the Eagles. Many people will tell you, despite any misgivings that any Eagles players, executives, or staff might have with Trump and the way he's running the country, that it's important to make the White House visit anyway. They'll say it's important to respect the office and uphold a sacred American tradition. I'm here to tell you that none of that is true. Why should the Eagles have respect for the office when himself, the president, does not? Shaking hands with this president, a man who's been convicted on 34 counts of felonies and illegally influencing blah, blah, blah. He brings up the past legal stuff. He says it means shaking hands with the man who has cut thousands of federal jobs. So he's in his feelings about Doge. He says if the Eagles fans are okay with this, fine. That's a decision that the team will ultimately have to make. I just hope they know it's a decision that will land them on the wrong side of history. So that's Michael Sykes saying he's not writing a political column, but it's all political, which is very, very fascinating. I think he aspires to be Mike Freeman, who always likes to write about race in sports. He'll end up on a future ESPN show that'll be canceled in 18 months. So the way I always look at this is he's trying to say, well, it's the keep politics out of sports one-way crowd. Not even close to that. It really isn't. If you think about it, I have always said this when we have politics and sports blending together, It's either a do not enter or we make it a two-lane highway. But what we have been dealing with for 10 years in the Trump era of politics is this one-way street. And it's gone on for longer than that, but I'll just, you know, keep it to the Trump era. So left-wing political views are allowed to permeate and creep into sports conversations, but the counterpoint is taboo. Right. And I'm sure that this guy had no problem when the Lakers and LeBron James in the pandemic bubble of 2020 won the NBA finals and rejected going to the White House and visiting Donald Trump. Here's my stance on this. And I just want to make it crystal clear. I think all teams should go to the White House, whether you're a college or pro sports franchise, when you win a championship and the invitation is extended to you. And you don't have to like politicians. You don't have to like the person in office. And I'm not even saying that you need to be, you know, overly gracious and grateful. But I do think you should respect the sanctity of the office. And if you don't like the sanctity of the office, what that tells me is you don't like America. And if you don't like America, then leave. And again, I get it. Politics are corrupt. Politicians are bad people. But what the office stands for is the values, the freedoms, and the rights that we have been afforded from the Constitution and the Bill of Rights as a citizen in this country. And if you're not on board with that, then that tells me you don't like America. And if you don't like America, then as Rosie O'Donnell did, put your money where your mouth is and actually just leave. To me, this is crazy. I don't think you have to like Joe Biden or like Trump. But, you know, going to the White House one time, pretty cool, right? And I don't think Trump's necessarily going to shake every 53 player, you know, not every single person's going to get a handshake. You don't have to like it if Trump serves up beef tallow, steak and shake, burgers and fries. But like, you know, to me, just go. Yeah. You're not going to be, you have more to lose, I think, as a team or a player by not going than if you go and trigger a few that say, bro, I would have turned that down. You know what Trump stands for. I think you go. And I would have went with Biden.
Gone. I will say this.
That's it.
I will say this, that I think these things used to be perfunctory.
Yeah.
And it's almost a smarter strategy just to allow it to be perfunctory. It's a photo op. We went, blah, blah, blah. you actually make a, you highlight it more and make a bigger stink out of it when you do something overt, when you say, I'm not going to go, and then everybody talks about it. But the, people will talk about this less. This guy, he's still back in the past. He's way back in the past. And so he, what's his name, Mike, whatever?
Michael Sykes.
Yeah, well, Michael, you know, talk about reality, because you're way in the past. Everybody's over it. Nobody's talking about the felony convictions. You know why? Because most of the country believes that they were persecution. It was all political. And the example that proves that to me is the fact that nobody is talking about it. It was all politics.
And he also won
what it was.
And Trump won the popular vote. So it's I think people really gloss over that. Like, this is the majority of Americans now. Trump's not the minority that won the Electoral College. Yeah. He took the electoral and the popular.
And I think people are still in some very progressive folks are still in shock.
Oh, yeah, they are.
After that, but I think most smart, rational people say, okay. And I think that's Fetterman. I think that most people look at this and say, okay, maybe I didn't understand all of this, but the majority of the country looked at the Democrat Party and said they're not in step with the regular people of this country, with the regular working citizens of this country. And so I think that the person who is in politics, who looks so radical and far out and crazy, is not the person you ever want to be in politics, because after all, think about what we started out with. We started out talking about the fact that these policies hold in their hands your future, your 401k, your investments. Trump was just talking about it yesterday, or I think it was yesterday, and he said, you know, this is a serious situation. He was sitting there with the little Irish, you know, premier, and he's saying, this is a serious situation. This could be or could have been World War III. And that affects everybody. That affects the world. Russia, Ukraine, what's going on in the Middle East, October 7th, Afghanistan, the economy, all of this. And so to me, when Trump was saying that just yesterday, I thought, okay, this is about your last week that you can still talk about the last administration and what you inherited. Because to be consistent, we all talked about the last administration, they inherited, despite the pandemic, inflation was still low. We all talked about it here, but I will be consistent and say this administration is on a clock. It's a clock just like a sports clock, and everybody's watching that clock because we're all affected by it, right?
Yep.
And so at some point people say, whatever your party is, yeah, you can't talk about the past administration. That was one of the problems for the Biden-Harris administration.
855-839-1210. If you want to jump in, news with Dawn to kick off the 7 o'clock hour. And then John Fetterman and Stephanie Ruhle clash on Trump and oligarchs as we continue. It's Kale and Company, hour 2, next.
You know, when you're choosing a lawn care service, I'm loving this weather. We have this warm weather, little rain coming in today. The lawn, it looks good. It's already greening up. And that's why it's important to me, as far as years ago, choosing Natural Lawn of America. It makes sense, doesn't it, that you're going to hire a company when you're shopping around. You're going to hire that company that does provide the best results, and it's safer for your family and your pets. And that's why my husband and I chose Natural Lawn of America in the first place. That's our lawn care company for our home. At Natural Lawn, they believe in growing greener, healthier lawns without all those harsh chemicals, and they use environmentally friendly products to keep your lawn lush and green. And that does protect the safety of your family, your pets, your kids, your grandkids. Maybe you're going to have an Easter egg hunt coming up soon, and you put all those little plastic eggs all over the yard, and you can know that when the kids or the grandkitties, they're running around, they're safe because you have those organic fertilizers, safer weed and insect controls, and they make sure that your lawn thrives naturally, season after season. So don't just take my word for it. Join the growing number of homeowners who are switching to Natural Lawn Saver services and start enjoying a beautiful, eco-friendly lawn that you can be proud of. Schedule Natural Lawn's full service program today. Get free seeding every year if you want a greener, healthier lawn plus free seeding. Call Natural Lawn, 800-FREE-SEED, 800-FREE-SEED. Your lawn deserves the best. Call the best. Choose My Lawn Care Company, Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed. Tell them Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.